Hello, Academy students. How is everybody doing today?
Hey, how's everybody?
So we are back with another episode of the Common Sense Academy.
Where common sense ain't common.
Got that right. So last week we talked about fatherhood and some responsibilities and maybe some stressors that some fathers feel. And we were going to continue this week kind of just talking through the early years of young men and their early marriages, if they're in that, and some of the difficulties and challenges they all face.
Yeah, I know it wasn't easy. Well, it wasn't as easy as I thought it was going to be. Mm-hmm. When
you mean to tell me that the manual they gave you didn't help you?
Well, kind of like, here we go, on the age. Greatest American Hero, okay. I lost the manual to the suit.
Oh, that's...
Yeah.
Total truth.
They didn't give out a manual. Nobody even talked about it. It was like your parents said, hey, congratulations, how was the honeymoon, have fun.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know?
That's pretty much how it goes.
And so with that, I mean, basically, we just try to imitate the best we can for how we grew up or what we saw growing up modeled for us as marriage.
Yep. So a lot of the difficulties come into two individuals who, for all intents and purposes, are raised in two opposite ends of the world. They're two different people completely. Mm-hmm. And now they're smushed together.
Right.
And they're forced to live this beautiful puppies and rainbows life. And the reality is that's just not reality. Right?
No.
They're two entirely different people trying to figure out who they are in this new union.
Well, not even just to mention the fact that couples that are getting married, young couples, don't even know who they are themselves yet. They're still learning in your early 20s, middle 20s. You're still trying to figure out exactly who you are. And let alone trying to figure out who you are plus who else another person is. And dating, we always think, you know, while, you know, most dating relationships are a couple years. The shorter ones, that'd be even crazier, I think. Mm-hmm. Because 3-4 years, I dated my wife for 3 years plus an engagement. And when we got married, I still had a lot to learn about her. Oh, boy. Right? And it's the simple things that'll get you, right? You think, oh, this is great. We hang out together all the time when we're dating, and we go out on the weekends, and we're together weeknights, and, oh, you know, it'll be no different, right? And yeah, that's not true.
No, not at all.
I mean, the simple fact of trying to share a bathroom. I mean, you know what I'm talking about.
I know not what you speak of.
Liar.
Yeah, you know, in new marriages, you know, the toughest part is trying to figure out who this person next to you really is. You yeah. think you know, mm-hmm. and you think, hey, it's just going to be great. We're going to have all this fun. We're going to create these new little lives coming in.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, for a male's perspective, she's going to want sex all the time, and it's just going to be crazy
day.
Naked time running around the house or the apartment. You know, oh, yeah. That's how it's going to be.
Yeah, and the reality, gentlemen, it's just not that way.
No.
Hate to burst the bubble. It's just not that way.
But your parents don't tell you that, right?
No,
it's like the
all.
Big joke.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, and it gets worse. It gets worse the longer you go in your life before you get married. So we talk about young men, right? Then you've got the gentlemen who get married in their 30s, maybe their 40s. Or maybe some in the 50s for whatever reason their former spouse passed away, or they're just now finding their person.
Well, I know single men who have never been married. They're in their 50s.
Yeah.
Likely never will, simply because you get so set in your ways and you become such an individual that it's almost impossible,
correct.
In my estimation, to come together with another individual.
Yeah.
So if two of you are 40 years old, that's 40 years of doing things your way.
Yep.
How do you mash that together?
And that's where I was going with that. I mean, we talk about young men, But this is this spans a lot deeper and wider than just the younger men.
Yeah.
You know. So, take, I guess I'm going to ask you a question. How did you get over the sticker shock, right, of the new?
Yeah. I think it's not sticker shock as much as almost like buyer's regret.
Ooh, okay.
Not that I regret it, or not that, you know, a new husband or wife regrets it. It's just like, this is not what I expected.
Right. Yep, no, I get you. I see where you're going.
You have a, well, so we all have this sense of what marriage is going to be like. I can't speak for women, but traditionally it's the romance and your husband's, you know, support there for you, all of these lovey soft feelings, and the guy's thinking, you know, well, hey, like I said earlier, she can run around naked all the time, she's gonna cook, she's gonna we have these defined roles from our parents, or like I said, what we see when we're growing up. And for myself, both my wife and I kind of came from traditional homes with parents that had been together and from our birth and on. And so that was a little easier in that sense because both of us had those same experiences. Mm. But it still wasn't easy, right? Because I still came into it with some preconceived notions, and so did she. I laugh about the bathroom thing, but you'd be amazed how different bathroom patterns are for everybody, right? I mean, some people leave towels on the floor. Some people have to have them hung up. Some people want the toilet seat down, not just the ring, but the whole seat down all the time. Some people want it up. Right. Some people like the toilet paper roll going over the top. Some like going underneath.
So you're going deep.
Well, I mean, these sound simple, but they get annoying.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? It's ways that we find to be annoyed with each other, and that we never set out for that. And so hence the post-purchase regret thinking, right? It's like, what did I sign up for? Yeah. You know, you squeeze the toothpaste in the middle rather than the end, or, you know, dumb things like that. My wife always used to laugh, you know, well, you put your dirty clothes next to the hamper, not in it, and the hamper's sitting right here. What's your problem? And I'm like, I don't know. It's just what I did as a guy in my room. When I were dirty, I'd throw them in the hamper from the floor and then bring them to the laundry. I don't know. But those are just all the little things. So for us, it's just time and patience with each other, right? And communication. It's always communication, but that's such a phrase I hate to use because it's overused, right? We have to learn to communicate. Well, it's not that simple. If it was that simple, we wouldn't keep saying it over and over. We wouldn't have to encourage each other that we have to learn to communicate, but you do.
Right, yeah.
And that's all it is, and it's patience, time, and grace. You have to understand that they're from a different place than you are.
Right.
You know, not just gender-wise, but just upbringing a lot of times. And then if we think about that for a minute, now think about a couple who one comes from a traditional family where mom and dad have, you know, we'll call them old-fashioned, but defined roles as a husband and wife, right?
Yep.
Doesn't even have to be old-fashioned, but they have defined roles. So the man does one, the woman does another, and they're pretty well established.
Correct.
And the other marital partner, doesn't matter which, comes from a family that's broken or a single parent family. That's how they were raised. They don't understand those defined roles because they haven't seen them exemplified in their life.
Mm, right.
So now your challenge is greater, right? Because you don't really have a strong grasp other than maybe what you've seen on TV, which is that's a horrible example.
Correct.
Right? It's all fake. Or media or something, or what you've been told or led to believe is your responsibility. And that doesn't have to be so, because those are unique for every couple.
Right.
I mean, I cook more than my wife does, and I'm okay with that, right? I happen to be home more than she is earlier in the day, so it's easier for me to cook, or we're going to eat late. And that's fine. I like to cook.
Well, some people would be like, best chefs in the world are male.
I'm not going to say that, but as far as traditional roles that's somewhat considered anti-traditional, right?
Sure, I got you.
Not that my wife can't cook and she's a good cook, but our relationship has just grown over time, and we've got our own roles. And that to say that is my point is they're not really set in stone. Right. Every couple has to work through that, figure out what works best for themselves.
And that work-through process can't be one, it can't be one person strong-arming the other.
No.
Right? And that, I think that's what a lot of young men do in the beginning, well, because sure. they don't understand how to truly communicate with the other.
Well, even just not necessarily even men in that relationship that I just described a second ago, if you come from a defined husband-wife mm-hmm. home, you know what you saw your whole time growing up, sure. right? And that's yeah. the way it should be, in air yeah. quotes, right? And so you're going to drive for that.
Right, right.
And more than likely, you're going to run right over your partner because they're a little unsure.
Right, yep.
And you're literally going to disrespect and disregard their opinion on that because you have seen how it's supposed to be.
Right. And then every little thing that happens after that becomes an offense.
Yeah.
Rather than a communication and a learning experience, it's well, you didn't talk to me correctly.
Yeah. Why didn't you do it this way?
Didn't do it that way. I told you this. I told mm-hmm. you that. You don't love me, really. If you did, you wouldn't have listened.
Yeah, and everything becomes an offense. I mean, correct. You just said it, and that was perfectly said, because it is. We start to take offense at things that are just, I'm mm-hmm. sorry, but they're ridiculous.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm really pissed off today because you left the toothpaste cap off. And you laugh, but I mean, that'll start true. A fight.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. Because that triggers into other types of conversations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the little nagging things that happens, or the, what's it called? The death by a thousand cuts.
Yes.
Right? It's not any one major thing. It's the little itty-bitty things throughout the entire week, throughout the entire day, that add up, and then that one last piece puts you over the top.
Yeah.
And you completely explode at that point.
Thinking back, that happened a lot in my marriage early on. Mm-hmm. It was always the little things, and they'd build up annoyances, right? It's like poison ivy.
Mm, yep.
You start with a little itch. You can handle it, and it starts to spread. And now you're scratching your leg, your arms, and you can't bear it.
Right.
You'd rather have fire than the itch because it's so bad, right? Those are the annoyances that you ignore.
Right.
You don't communicate them in a loving way. They build up. Now you got a problem, right? Now you can't control the itch. You just want to rip your skin off. And with that analogy, it's like ripping your wife's head off.
You just need relief.
You just want to lash out.
Yep.
And that's what you see at that point. Now you've taken a minor annoyance, which is really what it is, and turned it into a problem,
mm-hmm.
an argument, a fight that could last days, that prayerfully your relationship overcomes, and then you laugh about it years later like we do now.
Right.
Right, but not everybody does. Some people don't get past that.
Right. So how do they get past that part?
What's
the piece of advice we can give to those men, young, mm-hmm. middle-aged, older, who are going through this, and they are at their wit's end? So we talked mm-hmm. last week about men finding other like-minded men, Christian right. like-minded men, to walk alongside and become either a mentor or a sounding board or just some level of support.
Yep.
So,
well, that's important still. I mean, find a mentor.
Mm-hmm.
Find somebody who's been there, done that. You may not have the exact method they use, but maybe you can start there.
Right.
Right? Like us, we laugh, we joke about it now, but back then there was no joking matter. I know it wasn't for me, and I'm sure it wasn't for you.
Right.
Just like anybody else. I would have loved to have been able to go to somebody and say, hey, how'd you get past this when she does X or Y?
Right, right, right. right. Yep.
Or won't do something that I think she should as my wife.
Yeah. My manual never showed up in the mail.
No.
It must have got lost.
Yeah. I think they stopped chiseling in stone.
But the pterodactyl took it.
Yeah. But that's the thing. I think we need to, as men, get over ourselves a little bit.
Yep. That pride.
Yeah. We think of ourselves as the leader, the provider, the man. We need to drop that persona. We need to understand that we are a husband. In the requirements for a husband, our leadership, our providing for our wives, our family. But first and foremost, love.
Mm.
That's why we got married. You didn't get married so you could find somebody to provide for.
Or wash your socks.
Yeah. Well, maybe. But you weren't seeking that. You didn't go out and go, who's out here I can provide for? I need somebody to take care of. Yep. Right?
Correct. Yep.
No, you want somebody to love and to love you back.
Yeah.
Start there.
Yeah.
Understand that grace, some really just put it through the lens of love. Is this really so bad that I can't love you because of it? Probably not.
Mm.
Most likely not. I think if we start there, and you're still going to be annoyed, that's where mentorship, that's where having somebody that's older than you, don't rely on people that are going through it at the same stage you are. Right? Don't get together with your buddies and you all been married less than 5 years and go, hey, what am I supposed to do?
Right, right. You're
likely to get it wrong.
Yep.
Find somebody who's done it 20, 30 years. And I would, strangely enough, recommend you don't ask your parents. Because
why not?
Well, think about it. Your parents have always been your defender. They're okay. going to pick sides. They're going to not want to, but they're going to by nature.
Right.
Right. And that advice could be colored. And it would be colored by their experiences, right?
Right.
And your upbringing. So we raised you to do X or Y, right?
Yep. Yep.
And we raised our daughter, speaking from the man's perspective, to be this way. Well, your wife's not. She's wrong. Right. Right? You don't need that. You don't want that interjected into your marriage because it's your marriage. You have to, as I said earlier, flesh that out for yourselves. It's going to be different than your parents, than her parents, different than your friends. And so you need good, solid advice. And you could get some of this from your friend group and you bounce it around a little bit, but you need to definitely season that. Or you can probably even start with that with somebody outside of your family and friend group that's older.
Right.
That's done that.
So basically, step aside, put your pride aside.
Mm-hmm. That's the tough part.
That's a very tough part. Put your ego aside and open your ears. Close your mouth and open your ears mm-hmm. and truly listen to what's being said to you. Because oftentimes there's words under the words.
Yeah.
Right? You think you're interpreting what your wife is saying to you. You think you're interpreting what your husband's saying to you the correct way.
That's the start of more fights, I think, than anything right there.
Absolutely. We're too quick to respond immediately mm-hmm. when you hear something. And oftentimes you're hearing it in an offensive tone.
Right.
Right. Or maybe it's not being delivered the way that it was intended to be. So you're interpreting it completely incorrect.
Well, or you're already offended or irritated, and so yes. you hear it through the lens, if you will, of that.
Yeah. And then we have to remember that you're not arguing with the person directly across from mm-hmm. you. And that's on both sides.
You're not.
No. There's another thing, another person, another spirit in that room. And that's the demonic spirit that doesn't want you to find peace, doesn't want you to find happiness, doesn't want you to find solace and love in the person you said, I do, for the rest of our lives. That demonic spirit wants you broken up. They want you going separate ways.
Interesting.
So when you start arguing, if you truly take a step back and ask yourself, what are we really arguing about? Is this something that we really need to be screaming at each other about? Mm-hmm. And 9 times out of 10, the answer is no. Mm. Right? But you don't realize it because in that moment, you're being prodded ever so slightly to take the offense. One piece at a time, one word at a time, one look at a time, one off body movement or body language.
Yeah, I remember those days. You get in that place and it's almost like you're being manipulated, right?
Yeah.
Because at the end of it, you look back and go, why are we fighting?
Yeah.
What was this about? Well, if we weren't being manipulated, we probably wouldn't even been fighting.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have heard you say that that way, right? I mean, I can think of times where I was in a argument with my wife and we were just sitting quietly separate and she'd get up to leave the room and I'd be like, yeah, see, there you go.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And she didn't do anything but leave. Yeah. But you're right. We probably aren't arguing with our spouse as much as we're... Well, we might be arguing with our spouse, but we're not fighting them as much as we're fighting, like you call it, a demonic spirit, who really doesn't want to see us together.
Right.
The power of marriage, the power of that union, is something they fear.
Yeah. So think about this. If you are in an office setting, or just at your job, right? Mm-hmm. Any job, you get into a disagreement with your coworker. Are you screaming, yelling, browbeating? Are you insulting? Are you cursing at that person?
Not normally.
So why would you do it to your spouse? Why would you do it to the thing that was given to you as a gift by God?
Because typically we tend to hurt those that are closest to us. Mm-hmm. And we know the soft and gushy. Mm-hmm. You know right where to poke and the bruise, right?
Yep.
I know that if I push this button, I give him a little poke in this area, it's going to send him off, and I get some sadistic joy out of it. That's the truth.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. It's amazing when you take a step back and really think through the early years, and you realize, man, if I had just known now then how to really handle this situation, lives would have turned out completely different.
Yeah.
Completely different.
Well, but then that's where maturity comes in.
Yeah.
Because we got a lot of years to look back and say, wow, yeah.
Yeah, because we old.
Yeah. Well, old enough.
We old.
I've been married long enough to know I still get it wrong.
Right.
But not as often as I used to.
Right, right.
And I tend to catch myself. And for me, when I catch myself like that or in my mood like that or I feel like I want to poke, I just shut up. And I say, I need a minute. Nope. I'm not being mean. I just need to be quiet and settle down.
That's that, what is it? That's that Admiral Akbar cry. It's a trap!
Yeah, it is always a trap. Well, and guys, if you've ever had a serious fight with your wife, you know you don't win.
Yeah, just retreat.
We lose all the time.
Just retreat. Just take a step back and say, mm-hmm, and turn and walk.
Yeah. And when I say that, it doesn't mean you're not necessarily right, but that's part of the leadership now, isn't it?
Yes.
We say we want to be leaders, right?
Yes.
Well, a good leader knows when to fight and when to walk away.
Yep.
He's able to reflect, judge the severity and the necessity of that discussion and the level it should be at. That's maturity, but that's true leadership, right? Is the one... The one to lead in shutting down the argument and repairing the damage.
So it's the ultimate servant leadership.
Yeah. Jesus' example.
There we go. There we go.
You know, our listeners that happen to be Christian, we say we're followers of Jesus Christ. Well, the example that he gave for us all through the Bible was just of that. He was always the first one. Mm-hmm. Right, he got into the fights, but he also sought peace and resolution through it. But not if it was wrong, and that's where I'm saying we have to know where to fight.
Right,
because if our spouse is on the wrong path, they're really doing something seriously wrong. We have to be able to lovingly turn them around and correct them on that too, and that goes both ways. That's just for men.
Yeah, definitely both ways. Right? Definitely both ways.
No, there has to be room in your marriage for you to be able to correct the other person, but there is a lot of room for argument in that.
Well, that's where men have to realize that pride and ego piece, you have to put that aside. It's very hard for most men to have their wives, I guess, interpreted as belittling, but it's not.
Mm-hmm.
It's just what you said. It's that corrective action. It's like, hey, she recognizes something in you that's off. It's not quite right. And she's trying to get you back on the right path. But you're taking the offense as disrespect. Yeah. You're taking the offense as she doesn't really love me. If she did, she would accept me as I am. Well, she did accept you as you are because she said, I do.
Mm-hmm.
And she walked down the aisle. And she took your hand. And she had that ring, and everyone was going to say happily ever after. So she did accept you as you are. What she's seeing is a change in who you are. And it's, on again, both sides. But how are you going to accept that input from your wife without taking the offense? You got to put your pride aside. You have to put the ego aside. Yep. And you have to let Christ in and let him work on you.
Yeah. And that's the truth. And that's why we were given our wives as well, right? They were a part of you in the beginning. They came from you. We complete each other. And if you totally dismiss your wife, you're dismissing an important part of yourself as well through that.
Right? You're missing piece. You're a person.
Yeah. And that's something as men that we do, especially young men, young married men, tend to dismiss. And I don't know why.
Yep.
Why do we think that we have it figured out and our wives don't and they need us? They do, but we don't need them in the same way.
Right.
I see that a lot. I went through that myself.
Yeah.
When I think about it. Why?
I tell you what, when you lose your person, it's quite possibly the most devastating thing one could ever go through.
Hmm.
You know, that person, and I say person not just to give an example of a being, right? Another, your opposite.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about the person that God actually created for you.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you ask for that person or not, there is somebody out there for you, for everybody. And I truly believe that God has created that quote-unquote person for everybody. And when you find that person, and then you ultimately destroy what that gift is, or you dismiss it, the brokenness inside you is devastating.
Mm-hmm.
So, young men, beware. When you find the offense coming up inside of you, when you feel that deep hurt, pause, stop, and truly ask yourself, what am I really being hurt by? What are the words is this person is really saying that I feel is hurting me? And is it true hurt, or is it simply the pride, the ego, and that entity in between?
Mm-hmm.
That you're experiencing? Because I have to believe, if your person is true, that there really isn't any built-in hurt towards you, because God doesn't live there. God doesn't live in darkness, mm-hmm. right? So he wouldn't send darkness to you.
Right.
So the words out of that person's mouth, you're right, they know exactly what button to push, where the soft squishies are, as you said.
Yeah.
But ultimately, are they really saying something to truly hurt you, or are you interpreting it that way?
Well, we default to that, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
That they want to hurt me. We got married because we believe they love us and we love them. So why doesn't it naturally come? Why don't we naturally assume it's coming from a place of love?
Right.
We automatically default to they're dismissing me or a negative connotation to it, whatever it may be at this circumstance. Instead of, you know what, maybe I should listen because they love me and they want what's best for me.
Right, right. No, I like that. I like that.
But we do. We automatically default to negative.
Yeah.
And in that supports what you said a minute ago about the darkness. Why would we accept the darkness?
Right.
You know? Assume they're trying to hurt me in some way.
Yeah. It's crazy.
It's a person you committed your life to. No. Yeah, we're running long. That's easy to get into this, right?
Absolutely.
There's a lot to unpack.
I think there's again, I said it last week, and I'll say it again this week. Somebody out there is meant to hear this. Yeah. Don't know who, but somebody out there is meant to hear this.
You know, I think if we try to wrap this up just a little bit, I think men, I'm going to talk to you for a minute. Stop trying to be all things to your wife. Stop trying to be her spiritual guide, right? God is going to grow you both individually at different rates because you're individuals. As long as you're on the path, that's what's important. Husbands, you're supposed to be leading your wives in growth. But that doesn't mean she has to grow the same rate you do.
All right.
It means you need to be putting that out there. So, men, we need to stop being all things at all times. We need to start with what's important and that's loving our wives well. After that, the other things start to open themselves up. But if we don't love our wives well, easy for me to say, the animosity builds, the distrust builds, and they're not going to follow. And why would they? Because you're breaking the very first vow you gave. I'm going to love you.
There you go.
So if we can't be true to that, we're not worthy of being trusted to be true to more, in my opinion.
Okay. Don't lose your person.
Yeah. So, something to think about, men, women. Men in particular, I think, as our perspective tends to be. But, you know, if we're going to be leaders, we have to lead well, and that starts with us.
Yep.
We can't deflect. You can't point fingers at anyone else. You need to look at yourself in the mirror and say, how am I doing? And am I loving well?
Right. I like it. I like it a lot.
So I guess that'll wrap up our podcast for today.
Yeah.
Man, we've been deep lately.
We have been. We may have to lighten up a little bit.
We're going to have to find some
funny stuff. We got to find something else. So a little bit. Just a little bit.
I got an idea. I got an idea. We may have some fun. Maybe dig up some funny stories of our marriage. Some stuff y'all can relate to.
Oh, boy.
Hey. Nothing new.
No. Not really.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening in as we wrap up another week of Common Sense Podcast. As always, be good to each other.
God bless you, everybody.